Welcome to Quest for Gold. We are just 1 week away from the Summer Olympics in Paris, and some athletes are already there. I'm Ryan Burrow. Delta Airlines has been sending athletes off. Weightlifters were among the first to take off from a flight from Atlanta. Delta Airlines is the official airline of Team USA. The athletes are also getting their famed Team USA swag, shoes, jackets, shirts, pants, hats. Of course, that opening and closing ceremony uniform, custom fitted and sized from the biggest wrestler to the smallest gymnast. Getting fitted for all the apparel is, by many athletes' accounts, one of the best experiences outside of the actual competition. Team USA men's basketball continues to roll in its exhibitions before the Olympics with a dominating 105-79 win over Serbia. They're now 3-0 with wins over Canada and Australia as well. Just two more warm-up games to go. They'll close out their pre-Olympics exhibitions in London against Sudan and Germany before flying over to Paris. No real offense for Team USA women's soccer in their final warm-up before the Olympics. They played to a scoreless draw against Costa Rica this week, leaving many to wonder with this new coaching staff if they've had enough time to prep and mesh before Paris. Mallory Swanson talked about the offensive drought following the game.
I think it was a good test for us. I think you need games like this. You need experiences like this. And I think we got into good positions, which is always good. And good chances. The last part just didn't come, and that's on me. I need to just be a little bit more clinical, but really just go back to the training ground, and it's really just finishing everything that comes my way.
The mayor of Paris did swim the Seine River this week to prove it's safe to swim. However, French President Emmanuel Macron, who also promised to swim in the river, was not at the event. The risk of E. coli has gone down since testing was done in June. However, experts say the risk could increase if Paris is hit by more rain in the coming weeks. Two events, the triathlon and marathon swimming, are supposed to take place on the river. Officials say there is a backup plan if the water doesn't meet standards for swimming. The river, by the way, has been sealed off for now in preparations for the opening ceremony next week. A report by the organization Global Rights Compliance says more than two-thirds of Russian athletes and a third of Belarusians are expected to compete in the Olympics despite violating the International Olympic Committee's neutrality rules by supporting Vladimir Putin's invasion of Ukraine or working for the Russian military or intelligence services. The IOC said it would bar any athlete that has supported or took part in the invasion. That could include liking social media posts about it. Any Russian athlete will be competing under a neutral flag as Russia is once again barred from the Paris Games. This week on Quest for Gold, we had a chance to chat with John Jane of USA Judo. He claims citizenship in multiple countries and has competed in multiple sports.
Where are you at right now?
I'm in London, in Camberley right now. So that's where my main base of training is for the moment.
Yeah, it's my understanding you have triple citizenship?
Triple citizenship. Got British, American, and Bulgarian.
Where do you spend a majority of your time then?
For now, it's been in London, since it's close to Europe. And a lot of the competitions in judo and the training camps are all in Europe. So, you know, being based in the States makes things a lot harder and a lot more expensive to keep on flying over to Europe. So just being where I'm from in London, which is where I was born, you know, just having my base there just helps to, you know, kind of do all the things that I need to do when it comes to training and competitions.
So why compete under the American flag then? If you've got all these options and you're training there anyways.
I was with the British team in cadets back in, you know, about over 10 years ago now. But I think USA Judo just provides a lot of freedom with where you can train and, you know, where you can compete. Whereas British Judo's got much more, you know, halfway performance, where USA Judo just, it's American, they give you full freedom.
Yeah. I mean, I'm actually hearing that quite a bit. And your background is in judo though, right? You have a wrestling background?
I have both a judo and wrestling background. I started judo first when I was about 3.5 years old and picked up wrestling when I was about 7. I came over to the States quite a bit to do some wrestling camps in the summer, which I found a lot of fun. And I ended up wrestling in college at UChicago for 4 years. So that was a lot of fun.
And then what eventually swayed you in the judo avenue versus wrestling?
I think I just was better at judo. I think, you know, there's a difference between kind of being national champion in judo and, you know, winning international competitions here and there, as opposed to, you know, being a D3 wrestler and having to study, you know, 40 hours a week. So I was like, after college, I was like, you know, I think judo is probably my pathway right now.
Which is interesting because I did look, and I mean, University of Chicago, that is a very top-notch school. What did you study, and kind of talk a little bit about maybe some of the other avenues outside of sports that you're considering or you've gone down?
So I studied maths at UChicago. So I was a math major, which was pretty tough. I tried the honors track. It was a bit too tough for me, especially along with the wrestling. I enjoyed playing, but I did a lot of the intramural sports at UChicago as well. So I was, you know, pretty active in general. And then after college, I went and did a master's in London as well in maths. But I'm not sure what I'm doing right now because I'm pretty focused on the games coming up. And, you know, I can't say my brain's thought too much about what's next.
Sure.
So it's been
pretty
much like a tunnel vision situation.
Well, and that's kind of the direction I you know talk with a lot of the athletes is do you give yourself permission to think far enough in advance, or are you just kind of thinking about the process or the next step ahead of you? Obviously, and I don't know, we can get into this a little later. When did the Olympics become a possibility for you? And kind of how do you set your goals and your motivations, you know, a week in advance, 2 weeks in advance, months, years in advance?
Yeah. I mean, of course, what happens after the Olympics, you know, crosses my mind regularly. You know, it's definitely a consistent, you know, stress, but I think you got to block it out a little bit so you can focus on what's happening now. And there's time to deal with that afterwards, you know, because, you know, you don't get to train for the Olympics. You don't get to compete in the Olympics every year. You know, that happens once every 4 years. You get to think a little bit about other stuff. You can wait to think about that. So for now, I'm trying to focus pretty hard on what's right ahead of me, what's right now. But and when it came to, you know, whether the Olympics was a real possibility, I think especially after college, I started, you know, really hitting the world tour in judo, and I was able to start winning matches here and there, start giving, you know, some of the top guys tough matches. And then of course, you know, COVID hit, which was pretty tough. But during that time, I was selected as a training partner for Tokyo. So I was able to go over to Tokyo during the games, help out the judo team that was there. And, you know, just there, I felt, you know, like I do want to come back to the Olympics, but this time I want to compete. So for the next 3 years, I trained as hard as I could. And well, now, you know, the dream's coming true.
That's great. So you do actually have a little bit of Olympic experience, just not in the competition, but you went there, you saw kind of how everything goes. I mean, is the Olympics the top, the peak of the sport?
Yeah, it's absolutely the peak of the sport. Something that I think everyone, you know, is competing at the top level wants to do. It's where they want to compete. And so people spend a decade plus trying to achieve that goal. So it's definitely the peak of the sport, and I'm very proud to be able to make it.
Yeah, and that experience, I think, will be helpful for you to know kind of what you need to do and what the competition looks like when you're actually, they're not going in completely blind. You do have some experience. That's quite helpful. And on the other hand, too, you get a normal Olympics, if you will, because I know that you were pretty, the security was pretty tight and pretty secluded most of the games in Tokyo.
Yeah, in Tokyo, the U.S. training partners, we were put in a hotel, actually. We weren't even put in the village for, you know, extra security measures, and had to take a test every single day and all that. And it was a, you know, a little, you know, spit vial tube you had to spit in and fill up. It was it was an interesting process. So, you know, being in a, you know, more open environment where you can, you know, mingle with everyone and, you know, not have to go through, you know, the stricter security should be a lot nicer. But of course, that means that, you know, I'm trying to talk to, you know, Olympians from 2016, you know, ask them, well, how was that games? Because that's going to be more similar to Paris than Tokyo is. Because, you know, you don't want to go in completely unexpected, like, oh, wow. You know, you want to have some idea of what to expect before you show up to the village.
How has the U.S. performed historically at the Olympics in judo?
Tokyo was a tough one. We didn't do particularly well. In Rio, picked up two medals. and in London picked up one gold and a fifth place, I think, and a seventh, and also a seventh in Rio. So, but those two tour, those London and Rio, the Americans did very well. I think they performed, you know, particularly well. But these are going to be a tougher games, I think.
Sure. I mean, is there pretty good diversity across the globe as far as where some of the strong nations are?
Yeah, judo is probably one of the most international sports out there, I'd say. I think we have to probably, you know, other than maybe soccer, we have probably the most amount of nations competing. And we have a lot of nations that are actually really good. And, you know, a lot of nations, judo is probably their main sport. You know, you got, you know, a lot of the Eastern European bloc, their main sports are judo, wrestling, and weightlifting. You know, those are their sports that they're good at. You know, America is good at loads of sports. Whereas, you know, there's a lot of countries where judo is just their main sport. You got Kosovo, you know, that's been in two Olympics and have gold medals only in judo.
Do you do a lot of research before on your opponents? Do you know them already? I mean, maybe you've faced them already, or do you just worry about yourself?
So especially with the training camps that are in Europe and internationally, you get to, you know, train with a lot of these guys. So you got a good feel for them. Of course, they're not going to compete, you know, the exact same as they do in a training camp, but you get a good feel for what they do, how they, you know, move. But also when a draw comes out and you see who you've got in the first round, you do just kind of look at that, you know, look at their past videos, try and see what they're doing, how you're going to beat them. So you do need to study up on your opponents. I don't think I have the luxury to just be so good that it doesn't matter what the other guy's doing. I do have to study them, figure out what their game plan, figure out what I have to do to beat them.
Have you ever been to Paris before?
I have actually, so when I was at U Chicago, I did a study abroad for 9 weeks in Paris, and I've competed in Paris a few times, so I know the city relatively well now. I speak a little bit of French. Don't know how much that's going to help me during the games. I think that I'm not sure if they're going to be speaking French everywhere, or is, you know, they're going
Won't
to be
hurt. It
speaking
probably
English.
won't hurt, right?
It won't
So.
hurt. You know, maybe it'll help me, you know, with getting around.
Sure.
You know,
I mean,
maybe
do
I'll
you
need
plan on?
something
I
to
mean,
be there.
you're gonna be at the games. You might as well enjoy yourself. I mean, are you planning to check out any sports? Is it all down to business? Or are you gonna be able to do opening ceremonies, closing ceremonies?
I think I'll be able to do the opening and closing ceremony, which will be, I think, a lot of fun. It's one of the things I'm looking forward to. I don't know if I'm going to be allowed to go view other sports. I think tickets are pretty sparse here and there. But if I can, I would like to, you know, go watch some of the other sports, especially like weightlifting, which is one of the sports I enjoy watching. You know, when you do a sport, I think at a high level, you kind of forget to watch other sports. But, you know, there's a few sports I like to watch, you know, the basketball or anything. You know, really any of the sports would be fun to watch if I can have the time or if I can get a ticket.
Yeah, I mean,
But
do you envision yourself having running into LeBron James or Steph Curry in the elevator or something like that?
you know, I feel like those guys, you know, they go to the games and they're just getting bombarded by all the, you know, they're usually, you know, they don't have to worry about other athletes, you know, taking pictures of them, but the games is the one place where every athlete wants to take a picture with them.
Sure. Well, you know, I mean, you are one of the athletes that I'm sure that they want to take a picture with as well. So think about
You
it
know,
both ways.
I'm sure LeBron James just like can't wait to take a picture of that John James. You know, I heard so much about him.
You never know. But you never know when, and the stories that I've talked to when I've talked to athletes, like it's in the cafeteria, all of a sudden they just sit down next to you. All of a sudden there's Simone Biles or there's Katie Ledecky just sitting there. And it's like, well, here's my chance. Might as well say hi, right?
No, absolutely not. If I see them, I'll say hi. I won't be shy about that.
Do you have a pretty steady diet then, or are there times when you kind of peak and valley?
Recently, I've been trying to peak my weight a little bit because I've been competing so often and making the weight so regularly that my weight just dropped to 90 kilos pretty on the dot. And, you know, I'm sure there's people walking around 96, 98 kilos, you know, in the off week. So I'm like, I'm a little bit small, so, you know, for the way I could start to feel it. So I've been pushing my weight back up a bit, and over the next couple of weeks, I'll start to bring it back down. So I'll be in good shape for Paris. You know, don't want to come in too big, but you
Sure.
don't want to come in too small.
Is that something you focus on when I ask about the food, like what you're eating and then sleep? I mean, is that something that, especially with Team USA, you really are honed in on how much sleep, how much food you're getting, or no?
Not particularly. It's more
Okay.
eat food,
Eat food.
a little
That's
bit
helpful.
more food, you know, eat good
Yeah.
food, eat more food to gain weight. Look, you know, check the scale. Are you gaining weight? If you're not, eat more.
Sure.
If you are gaining weight, okay, eat that amount for, a bit more, for the next couple of days.
You're not
Eat
on
that.
a crazy, like, I need to eat spinach this day and then I need to eat pork this day or anything like that.
No, absolutely not. And then when it comes to sleep, trying to get over 8 hours a night is just the usual. Maybe a midday nap here and there if training's been extra difficult during the day, because you get the morning trainings, then usually a little bit of a gap during the day, and sometimes you gotta have a little bit of a nap just so you've rested for the next training.
Sure. I've been talking with USOPC was really focusing this year a lot on the mental health training and the options, the resources that they have. Is that something that you've taken advantage of at all as far as sports psychs or maybe meeting with the team psych or anything like that?
I've been seeing my own sports psychologist, sort of. Now I'm seeing her, once a week, just leading up to the games, just to make sure that each week is as good as I can. Make sure, you don't let the negative thoughts kind of, take too much of a hold in you. You don't want to be kind of in any sort of negative cycles. You want to make sure you're breaking out of that as soon as possible. So especially in these weeks, I think that's important.
Yeah,
So.
you don't want the Olympics to become overwhelming and take you off
No,
of your
you
game.
want to be, you want to, you know, you got to prepare physically, but you got to prepare mentally for it, especially when it's your first one, and you don't quite know what to expect. So that's where I think that's going to help a lot.
Are there any exercises you do? Is it whether it be meditation, whether it be breathing exercises, whether it be I don't know, prayer or something like that? I mean, is there some kind of routine you go through to try to balance yourself out?
Nothing too special. It's more just trying to catch, negative self-talk and trying to, make sure I'm, in positive self-talk, which, sounds kind of a little wishy-washy, but, when you're telling yourself, you can do something, more likely or not, you can do it. If you're walking around thinking, oh, I'm tired, this training's hard, I don't want to be here, et cetera, then, your training quality just drops dramatically. So, you gotta be enthusiastic to train. You gotta want to train. You gotta think you're good, and then you do get better.
Are you pre-match? Are you in the corner listening to Metallica, getting yourself hyped up, or are you trying to calm yourself down?
Usually, it would be kind of first calm yourself down. So it's first you have to warm up, then you kind of bring it back down. And then just before the match, as it's, last 15, 10 minutes, then you start listening to the hype music.
What is your
So
hype music?
right now it's been a lot of dance music, a lot of house music. So,
Okay.
but sometimes it changes a lot. Sometimes it'll be rock music, sometimes country. It's
Sure.
whatever I'm feeling the vibe to that day. But more than not recently, it's been house music. So.
How do you explain judo to someone who's never seen it before?
So the main goal of judo is to grab your opponent and throw them on their back from standing. And if you can't do that, there's also ways to win on the ground, whether it's choke, armbar, or just holding them on their back for 20 seconds.
Do you feel like the sport is growing? Is it progressing?
Yeah, it's definitely grown a lot in the last, like 10, 20 years. It's professionalized a lot as well. I think with the IJF and their sort of Judo World Tour, we have Grand Slams, Grand Prix quite regularly now, and the competitions are run pretty perfectly. And the competitions, the amount of athletes entering the competitions are just getting more and more. And again, countries that 10 years ago weren't that good are now starting to win world medals. So, the sport's just getting harder and harder. The medals are starting to go into more and more countries. So it's definitely progressed a lot in the last, 20 years.
I like to ask every athlete, because everyone seems to have some kind of USADA or WADA story where you got to knock on the door to take a test, or got a phone call and you're in the wrong place at the wrong time. Do you have any fun USADA stories?
No, it was just it was just the other week. They showed up after training at, 9:30 p.m. You know, they kind of waltz in the door, don't announce them, themselves to anyone. And, other people are like, who are these people just standing in the corner looking, watching us? And, eventually they kind of announce, okay, we need to get John. And I'm like, okay. So after training, I'm like, it already came at the worst time because I'm fully dehydrated right now.
Sure.
So, they had to, I had to wait, several hours. I got home past midnight. And then I had to train the next morning. So I was just like, oh. Yeah. And I'm just sat there on the mat stretching while I'm just like, two people are watching me stretch. It's just like, it's not really what I was hoping for right after training. I was wanting to go home and eat and sleep immediately. Now I'm...
Sure. Well, at least you were in the right place. I've got a lot of people who, they got a phone call from a roommate saying, hey, where are you? The person showed up at the door, so it could be worse. Where can people find you on social media if they want to track how you're doing, your progress?
I got my main Instagram is Captain Jane 97. And Jane is Jayne. I also got a training Instagram, Captain Jane Trains, where I just post regular training content, about my lifting. I keep them separate because I don't want to, with the main Instagram, I don't want to kind of be bombarding people with just videos of me lifting if you don't want that. But if you do want it, you got Captain Jane Trains.
John is already in Europe prepping for next week. That'll do it for this week's episode of Quest for Gold. We've got at least two more interviews to get through before the games, so stay tuned for the final two episodes next week before the Summer Games in Paris. I'm Ryan Burr. We'll see you then on Quest for Gold.